than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, the first preseason game is in the books, and wouldn't you know it, the Ravens win, and they get a couple more season-ending injuries. Joining me, as always, to talk about everything Baltimore Ravens is my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, man. Just trying to get through preseason healthy for myself, but did you have to start off with lumping the good and the bad? You just had to do it.
You know, we gotta cover it all, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's start off with the good, though. Let's talk about how it felt to be back at M&T Bank Stadium for a game, not a practice this time around, but for a preseason game. It was my first chance to see the 4K boards. What was your experience at the first preseason game?
First experience was great, man. I mean, I expected to, you know, relax. I mean, it just was a great atmosphere to be in, man, just to see some of my regular season fans. I mean, there was a few regulars around me. You know, it was great to see the grass and the field painted and the team get to play against another team that's not our own offense and defense for once, to get a simulated game. I loved it, man, from the feel and I loved the new – I mean, I already knew about the vision boards being at practice the week prior, and then I got to see him again this past weekend as I went to a second practice. But at nighttime, it's going to be great. And I'm telling you right now, that new graphic they got with the whole "we must protect this house" thing and the Raven and the graphics, dude, I think it's going to be legit, man. And it sounds like they beefed up the sound. It sounds louder. It sounds crisper. I'm impressed with it, man. How about you, man? Did you like it? Or
yeah, I was very impressed. I was in a corner up in the 500 section. It was I mean, you know where it is. So your seats, yep, are kind of above where the players come out of the tunnel. I'm diagonally across from there, so I got a great view of them coming down, coming out to the field. I got some great pictures of that as well. So I'm on a corner. So if I look to my right, I see the new 4K boards. Those things are definitely designed for you to look across the stadium. Like, I was looking over my right shoulder just to like check it out from that angle, and it like blacks out. You know, there's no way if you are on that side, you're going to be looking at the board closest to you. Now, luckily, these boards are huge, and if you are a stadium away from the boards and you have to look across the field to see it, it's still very crisp. It still looks good, but I can see some fans complaining, because there's always going to be, you know, no matter what, there's always going to be people that are upset. But because of the curve of that board, if you're close to the board, you can't really see it that well. But at the same time, it's a bigger screen, so it really doesn't matter if you have to look down the field to see the board. I still was highly impressed with it. I thought it was beautiful. I mean, when there's nothing going on the screen and it just says M&T Bank Stadium and it has the Raven Shield, just absolutely beautiful, crisp, clear picture. And as always, when the Ravens are coming out, you're watching the screen and everyone's making their entrances, of course I got goosebumps, as I do every time I'm at M&T Bank Stadium and that happens.
Yeah, man, and it adds a lot better. And I mean, this is part of the initiative to beef up the stadium, but just think, if you're that impressed with the stadium screens now, whoever hasn't been there to see it, you know, next year's phase two, where they're adding the four smaller boards in the corner, so that stadium's going to have six screens, man. Imagine the stadium experience at that point.
That's just insane. I don't know if you were there or not yet, but as the team was practicing before the game, did you notice they played the Dark Knight theme from the Dark Knight Rises, you know, the known Hans Zimmer theme for Batman whenever he's on the screen?
Good point. I actually was a late arriver because of traffic. You know, obviously I'm never late for a home game during the season. It's a Sunday, but doing it the weeknight and work and traffic, I came in the middle of the first quarter. So I did not get to see him practice, but you are right. I have heard that soundtrack there before. They do it, play it, and I hope they keep the tradition where they played. And I've seen this, man, and you could probably be excited about this as I am, but the original theme to come out of the tunnel is when they do the team intros. Before they do that, when they show them in the tunnel walking out in the field, it's usually the beginning and the guitar strum of "You Lose Yourself" by Eminem.
Which it still is. I heard with the Dark Knight theme when the team was practicing and they huddle up and they go back into the locker room.
And did they do the Eminem when the player intros
When the players came out and did their intros, it was Eminem. But when they were leaving the field to go back into the locker room after the warm up, the Dark Knight theme, which I thought was really cool.
That's good for me because it kind of ties in, obviously, my costume but my gear on game day. But given that, they kind of were doing something different. Is last season, or it was last year, they incorporated the Thrones theme in the intro. So I don't know if that's like was a one-off week or something, but it happened. I was like, where's Eminem? I mean, the Game of Thrones intro, but for me, the Eminem "Lose Yourself" gets you pumped up more than that. So, I mean, Game of Thrones is awesome by any stretch, but the theme song really doesn't do it for me. So I have to say it doesn't. So, but anyway, I digress from that. But it was a great experience. Great to see the first team out there. Obviously, we already know what starters weren't playing in the game because obviously they didn't need it in game one. First only impressions, though, starting defense. This is why we went defense. Everybody was wondering, why did we go defense in the draft? This is why. The way the game started, man, first for three plays, Eric Weddle should have had a pick. It was an incomplete pass. Second play of the game, they stopped the run for 2 yards. It's third and long already, and they rushed in for the sack and brought the pressure, which was awesome. Three and out. First two series ended up with -1 yards for the Redskins. That's how you start. That's how you start fast. And early reports out where the Ravens defense is fast, and if they can stay healthy on that side, it seems like the offensive side we can't stay healthy, but if the defense, you know, knock on wood, stays healthy, we're going to impress some people, and I'm going to say, I've already said it's the top three unit already.
Yeah, I am right there with you. I was very impressed with the defense. I mean, it really looked like the Redskins' offense was going nowhere. These guys were on top of everybody. I was highly impressed. And good news from the Ravens' front is that Marlon Humphrey looks like he's going to be back for his first preseason game coming up in just a couple days. So adding him to the mix as well is going to be huge.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait to see what this guy can bring for the defense. And he could be in there in the starting mix. He could be there in the kind of 1A squad where he's going to be a starter but start on the bench. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what our first-round draft pick this year has got to bring. I'm going to tell you who's been impressive. I'm going to tell you this right now. On Thursday night, dude, how about Brent Urban, man? All over the field, wrecking havoc. The dude's a monster. And how about Tyus Bowser bringing the pressure with the sack? And it's just like Bowser, if he keeps that up, man, I told you, I picked this guy from the beginning. I mean, the rookies need to step up. Tyus Bowser showed an incredible first game from my respect. I tell you what, I think Tim Williams has to step up. I wanted to see what he can bring in week two this week against the Dolphins. But right now, defense is looking hungry. But if you noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, but and Bowser even tackled well, but the Ravens, I didn't see many missed tackles on defense, man. I didn't. It was like Tyus Bowser wrapped up. There was a couple guys that were just like sound fundamental tackles. There was one where I think it was Bowser's play, if I'm not mistaken. It was one of the linebackers got in there, and he got the pressure. The quarterback got walloped. The ball was thrown like kind of weak, and it was picked off by us, and that was like textbook Ravens defense. And there's a lot of times the Ravens hit the quarterback, and obviously I'm happy about to say this, but there was no flags. It wasn't a roughing call. Mm-hmm. It was a legit hit. They dragged him into the ground as he was throwing. The Ravens put pressure on the Redskins quarterback's perspective, and it's just, if you look at that, if that correlates into preseason week two and week three, and they build on that, dude, we're going to be fine on defense, man. We're going to be just fine.
Yeah, defense definitely looked great. And like you said, no flags, which was a wonderful thing to see. I think the refs are a little bit easier on preseason just because they know everybody's looking at who's going to make this team. But yeah, defense looked phenomenal. I am very comfortable with this defense. As long as everybody can get through and there's no injuries throughout the preseason, I think the Ravens will do just fine. Because like you said, they weren't last year and the year before, they weren't like wrapping their arms around anybody and bringing them down to the ground. It's kind of like they would hit into them and then just let them go, and the whoever was on offense would finish the play. That happened a lot the last 2 years.
It did, and especially in the linebackers, where if they get through that first layer, all that's left is secondary safeties, and if they get by them, they're gone. I mean, we got to start tackling better, and I've seen a lot of good fundamentals. You know what I've seen is switching sides of the ball and talking more about great what I've seen is Terrence West had an impressive run near the goal line. Obviously, he capped it off with a great dive over the pile. But how about the run to get there? He almost finished it off, which would have been an impressive run. And I have to give credit. How about the patchwork line, which didn't have Yonda in there? And I don't think Jensen was in there, if I'm not mistaken. So they had a couple starters out, and not even our new addition, Howard, was on the line. And West had an impressive showing. Not sitting here and bowing down singing his praises right now, man. I'm not saying, obviously, you know, he's our answer at running back, but that run and the way he performed made me feel okay. It made me feel okay as heading into the run game. Mm-hmm. You know what? We might be okay.
Well, you know what? You and I talked about this when they brought Danny Woodhead in. Go back to a couple of our old episodes and you'll hear us say, we think the Ravens brought Danny Woodhead in because they had not a lot of faith in Terrence West. But I think Terrence West knew that because he played in this first game. Danny Woodhead did not. And I think Terrence West was out there to prove some people wrong and to prove to everyone that he is a viable option at running back. I was impressed with him. I think he was probably the star of that first preseason game. The touchdown he was able to get, I mean, that leap of faith over everybody, fighting to get through to that end zone was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, this guy, he's got the heart of a Raven. You know, that's the thing. The Ravens love to be the underdog. They love to prove people wrong. And Terrence West, he did that. You know, if the Ravens are going to have a hard time about whether or not they go with Danny Woodhead or Terrence West on that first game, if you're judging just from this one game. Let's see what happens in the next couple weeks. But as far as it goes, I was impressed with his first game. I highly enjoyed watching him do what he has to do. And he did. He definitely did impress me. That was a great game for him.
It was, man. And I'm very impressed with the way he's handled himself in the starting running back position. I mean, you know all the rumors around with Woodhead coming in, and Woodhead's not that bruiser back, as we always like to say. He's going to be the passing down situation. I mean, 2 years ago in 2015, he had 80 receptions as a running back. So, I mean, if he's in the right offense, and obviously everybody jokes that he is in the right offense because we like to dink and dunk the ball and you know, check down a lot. But, you know, it provides a great 1-2 punch. And speaking of the running backs, it was mentioned today that obviously the Eagles cut ties with Ryan Matthews. I expect the Ravens to look at him. I don't think they'll sign him. If they do, it'll be a surprise. I mean, it'll be a welcome surprise. And I honestly think they should because of the running game so weak. But he just gets injured a lot, and I don't know if they're going to take that risk. But hey, if the Ravens feel he's the best fit, so be it. You know, but I feel like Danny Woodhead and Terrence West, we need more. Right, Buck Allen's there. Right, you have Taliaferro. It's just, but just for that, you look at the running backs. I mean, we got to run. We got to get back to the basics. And you look at the running backs in this division: Isaiah Crowell, Cleveland. You have now Joe Mixon in the mix as a rookie in Cincinnati, and they got some good running backs. They got Bernard, and it's just, and then now you look at obviously Le'Veon Bell, you know, an all pro in Pittsburgh. So I figured the AFC North are built, you got to run this up the pass, and I feel like with the line, what we have, and the receiving core, we need to get back to the basics, and you know, what better way to do it? But again, what Terrence West showed, let's build on it. I want to see what Woodheads can bring to the team, but the running game's got to be there, but it's really going to be hard to handle, you know, switching gears to receiving core, because we did have a blow. I mean, Tim White, man, he had an impressive showing, and it just sucks about his thumb, and then we lost Alex Lewis, a guard. It's just these injuries, man. You just can't stop them. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's conditioning. We can sit here and talk about it all night long. But Tim White had an impressive preseason game one, man. And he was undrafted, and I had my eye on him from the start. And it's really unfortunate to see the guy go down, man.
Yeah, and the Ravens always like to have a starter be an undrafted rookie. I don't know what it is about this team, but they love to bring in an undrafted rookie and have him start, almost every game. I think they've done it like every season. I think it was Mike Pierce last year who actually made a great play in the fourth game, and he got signed and has actually done really well at the position he's at. But Tim White, that really sucks this year, because he was the guy everyone said, look out for this guy in the first game. He's going to do a fantastic job. He's going to impress you. And I was impressed with the first game. You hate to see him go down and out for the entire season. But that also leaves the door open for a guy like Keenan Reynolds, who's been with the system a little bit, and we got to see a little bit of him this past game. But losing White definitely sucks. He had a lot of promise, but hopefully he'll come back next year and be able to do something. But I'm excited to see what Keenan Reynolds can do.
How about that return by Keenan Reynolds in the second half? I mean, that was great. Great special teams play. He almost broke it. He had a couple of good lanes there. And if my memory serves correct, I believe it was the second half. It just was great, man, just to see him explode out of the lanes and right and hit it. I think he went left and then hit right, yeah, and went right up the seam and got to the enemy territory side of the field. So I was really impressed with his showing. And we've always – how many times have we said it here, man? We need that kickoff returner. We haven't had it since Jacoby. We haven't had it since Jermaine.
Jacoby, who was at the game, by the way. Jacoby, who was at the game last Thursday.
I actually heard – I did not hear that till after I left, and I was actually trying to look for him. But – and I'll get to this, of course, at the end. But he was actually at practice on Sunday. So he was in town. He's been hanging around the team, which is great.
He apparently he has like – he made a connection with a fan that was – I don't know what they – were fighting, like it was like an illness or something they were fighting. He got really close to that fan and their family, and he still keeps in touch with them even today.
That's wonderful, man. And I know Jacoby will always be part of our history, even though he played for us briefly. I mean, I'm staring at it right now, the kickoff return. I had him sign the picture, 108 yards, who can forget, taking it to the house, and it was right in the second half of the game. I mean, and then who could forget the Mahi Miracle? I have that on my wall. I mean, who could forget the incredible catch that he caught from Flacco to tie the ball game? So he's always going to be forever. And then me and you at the snow game, how many times we can forget that, where he returned that kick back in the snow and those exchange of touchdowns and the flurry of it at the end. And it's just, you go on and on and on about his moments here. And it's great to see Jacoby still be connected to the city. A lot of previous players. I mean, yeah, Chris McAllister was at practice on Sunday. Mike Flynn was in town. So there's always that connection. I mean, I've seen Edwin Mulatala around the area sometimes. You know, even though these guys leave and go and they do different jobs or different teams, they're always a part of us no matter what, man. And it's just great to see that they have that connection, whether it's fan or whether it's, you know, family here in the area. And there's always some that Raven Baltimore connection. I love it.
Absolutely. So I guess we can move on from this, the Thursday, the first preseason game, unless there's anybody else you want to spotlight. But I didn't get to go to the open practice at the stadium where you were allowed to bring your dog. I was really upset that I couldn't take my Bella dog, but you were there. What was the experience like having all the puppies around?
Dude, man, it was incredible. I mean, the atmosphere was just glorious. I have a lot of great pictures. I'm sure you saw them. I posted them. I got videos, but I posted, obviously, I'm in heaven, me as a dog lover, and I'm sitting there watching my Ravens practice in the lower level. I got dogs around me. I got the dog in front of me. You know, it was great. And the Barks was out there, supporting, and our volunteers were out, giving the dogs water bowls, running up and down the stairs, making sure they were hydrated. And dude, it was crazy. Like, it was just like you seen the players, and Dick Cass, the president of the Ravens, was on the field, and he was pointing his stance, pointing and smiling, seeing all the dogs. And they had a lot of dogs shown on the big jumbotrons and the screens. And dude, it was phenomenal. And just seeing the reactions to the players, players were pointing, and it was a festive atmosphere, man. And I heard the Ravens do it again. I heard nothing but good reports. No incidents, as far as I've heard, you know, no dogs, you know, misbehaving, biting anything or fighting. It's, you know, all dogs out long. I mean, you had the one, it was crazy. The one, it was great. The one German Shepherd behind us and the two rows behind us, every dog walked past. He like barked at them all. And, but he was fine. And it was just great to see people, just like the smiles on people's faces and like, you know, kids interacting with the dogs. And, you know, I got a lot, talked to a lot of dog owners. I mean, what the Ravens did there, I really hope they keep that tradition alive and you know, fall went well. But I heard it was a huge success. What a glorious day, and hopefully you and Bella can be a part of it next year. And, dude, what a phenomenal event that they did and open up the stadium like that for dog owners, man. And, you know, and practice was great too. You know, I got to sit up close and see a lot of interactions. You know, you mentioned Jacoby. Jacoby was on the sidelines doing his antics dance, and they interviewed him, and Suggs and Brandon Williams, and I posted the video. Him and Brandon Williams were doing the wobble, I think. So it was great. Just, it was a festive atmosphere. I did see a little bit of seriousness, though, you know, something that you guys don't get to see all the time. But in practice, Mike Wallace looked like he missed a route. I forget if it was Mallett, it was the quarterback, I can't remember. But Wallace, pretty much, he was going out to the right. And it was in front of me, and Wallace, like, I guess, like, sat in the zone, and when he turned around, the ball, like, zipped past his helmet, so it looked like it was a timing issue, and he, like, shrugged his shoulders, and he was looking around, and then I seen him go back, and Marty Morgenwig and him were getting into it, so I think there was a miscommunication on the play. So you might think, hey, they got dogs at the stadium, they're dancing on the sidelines, are they even practicing? Oh, man, it's hard practice. I mean, I saw that interaction, they're getting heated, they're getting into it. And I saw my first licks of Howard on the line. Howard's a big dude, man.
Yes.
And hopefully he's going to be formidable. But, yeah, what a big dude.
Yeah, let's wait a second here. I want to talk about him. So we talked about last week. Where was Austin Howard? We sign him. He's not at the castle. What's going on? Apparently he had like off-season surgery or something, and he was still recouping from that. So it took him a little bit longer to get on the field. But this was his first time in purple. It's his first time in a Raven uniform. What a way to start your Raven career, being able to practice at the stadium with barking dogs and all this other kind of stuff around. So tell me about Austin Howard. You said he's a big guy, but give me a little bit more about him. What did you see from him from this first practice?
Even though he's big, I saw a lot of great athleticism from him. He's shown that already in the first few plays I got to see him. Dude, and again, how much kind of rave about him, how big the dude is. I mean, he's going to be great asset on the line for us, run blocking specialties, pass blocking. He's got it all. Now, it's going to be hard because I really get to see a lot of live game action and a lot of defenders come at him. So I don't know how he's going to handle that. But for the most part, you know, when I see him coming out of his breaks in the stance, and looks like he has a lot of power. So again, from the very little I saw, I was pleased. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and do backflips and say this guy is the, you know, second coming of the lineman we need, but it's very refreshing. It's very refreshing given the injuries we had. We just lost Alex Lewis, and we bring him in, obviously. We already had the line depleted. So, and putting him in there with Yonda, it's going to be great, man. We got an All-Pro in Yonda. Howard, great. Another great Ravens find. I'm very tickled to death. And I know we're missing Stanley for the last few practices. From all I heard, it's minor. It's going to be okay. He's not going to miss any significant time. So you get Ronnie Stanley back in there, this line's going to be great. But from what I've seen, man, Howard's got a glowing recommendation from my end.
Great. So I hope he gets to play on Thursday. Yeah. I want to see what he can do on the field.
I believe so. I don't think he should. I think he should play. I think all signs point to him playing and indications, but I haven't heard of reports if anything breaks. I'll obviously share it.
Awesome. And yeah, Ronnie Stanley's missed the last couple practices, but Harbaugh said it's nothing to worry about, nothing season ending. So hopefully we'll see him soon. But I have to imagine he's one of the guys that encouraged the Ravens to let people bring their dogs to practice, because we know the story about him, and he picked up two dogs from Barks, and he's really into rescuing pets. So I have to assume that he had a big part of it. But let's move on from that practice. Let's talk about it. I scared some people today. I'm not going to lie. My bad. Sorry, everyone. Sorry for the heart attacks. I posted about Rashad Perryman. I didn't preface, and I said missing the entire season due to a hamstring injury. I did not put missing the entire preseason. Sorry, that was my bad, because people were freaking out on our Facebook that, you know, everyone was like, holy crap, he's down again. But Brashad Perryman only missing the preseason as of right now. We know how things change with him. He's having a hamstring injury. It's a long-term hamstring injury, Harbaugh said. But Josh, let me ask you, if last year, 2 years ago, it was, oh, he's out a day, oh, he's out a week, he's out for this game, is there like a chance that we're not going to see him at all again this entire season? Entire season, not just preseason. Entire season.
Great question, man. And first, I want to start off by saying, great scare. You had me going because I kind of knew it. I kind of was just like,
well,
I
like, it's really bad because he's kind of injury prone.
Well, he can't stay healthy, and I even tweeted to a few people in replying to Jeff Cerebic of Baltimore Sun that, why don't we just cut him? And someone chimed in, he's under his rookie contract. Obviously, I know that. And I'm like, well, I was like joking in a half serious. I was like, can we terminate it or cut him or trade him or something? Because this dude, it's a liability. And I feel that it's going to be that prolonged thing. There's that long-term effect. There's that unknown. I mean, remember, in his rookie year, it was like that. It was, oh, it's just a sprain. It's a tweak. He'll be back. He's day-to-day. He's week-to-week. Preseason went through, regular season happened, oh, he might be back by week three, and then all of a sudden they put him out for the rest of the year, and it's just no. I mean, I have a feeling this is going to go into the regular season, and I follow the trends, I follow the patterns, and, you know, but then you got to take the report for what it is. But at this point, I believe it when I see him on the field and in the flashes that he saw last year. I wanted to build on that, but if the dude can't stay healthy, what good is he, man? It's just, it's another wasted top pick on a receiver. They're a dime a dozen, but still, man, you got to get it right at that spot. And, luckily we have Macklin to support that, because White Wallace and Jeremy Macklin are going to be a great 1-2 punch. We need that third guy. And it's like, you look at the roster and it's like, who is that third guy? Other than our tight ends, who is that third guy? I don't think it's Campanero. I don't think it's Chris Moore. Someone's got to step up. So we have already lost Dan Waller. We lost a number of guys. And it's just really concerning to me that, you know, not to really hone in on all the injuries, but just his. It's like, what is he doing? What is it? Is it his personal conditioning? Is it just his body's just weak? I don't know what he's doing, but NFL top flight receiver, you got to get it right. And I think this is the last straw for the Ravens, but man, I believe this one when I see it yet again.
I can't believe we're now going into this guy's third year and he's yet to get through.
I think he's played like three or four games. Maybe. I think the four games he played last year were the highlights he had.
I don't understand. I mean, this is 3 years. This is three training camps he hasn't been able to accomplish. He's
Derrick Rose of the NFL, or our team for that. You could be great, you could be good. I wouldn't say great, obviously. I mean, he's third year, but Derrick Rose was an MVP before he got hurt, but in the NBA. But it's the same thing. It's like in the same regards. Remember Ken Griffey in baseball. I think Ken Griffey would have challenged for the home run record if he didn't get hurt all the time. Grant Griffey's obviously already in the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer, but how great could he have been if he could just stay healthy? And obviously that's the big MO here, all these athletes. If you can stay healthy all your career, you can put up the numbers and put up production. I mean, you know, Ray Lewis, in his own respects, didn't really miss that significant time. I mean, he had the one injury in 2005, which is due to the Madden curse, obviously. Then he had his tricep injury and a few others. But he wasn't really put out for much of his career. And then Flacco, up until the infamous knee injury, played every game of his career. Mr. Iron Man himself, following Cal Ripken's footsteps on our team. So it's, you got to take care of yourselves. But, you know, Perryman's just a lost cause at this point. I mean, I'd rather turn attention to elsewhere because it's a big lost cause.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that I think he's got a lot of talent, but can you count on that talent to be on the field? That's the thing you really got to worry about. From what I've seen of him on the field, he's looked good, you know, but at the same time, you need the training camp. You need to practice. That's how you get better. You look at hockey players in the NHL. They have to play in the AHL a couple years to get better at professional hockey, and then they need to play in games at the NHL level to get even better than that. I mean, if you're on the sidelines, you're not gaining any more skill. You know, if you're sidelined, you're not working out as much. You're losing your speed. That was the whole thing. This guy was supposed to be the next Torrey Smith. He was supposed to be. He was supposed to have some wheels. If you have hamstring injuries and knee injuries all the time, you know, it's like a broken down car. You know, if it's only so long until you got to buy new tires.
Absolutely, man. And I mean, you got to take care of yourself. Your body is the focal point of your career. But who am I to say? I mean, you know, they work out all the time. They eat right and they have the best stuff. But Perryman, man, it's unfortunate because you saw what happened last year when he was in. I mean, who can forget the Dolphins route, you know, where he had that blazing speed. He had a few great catches in a few other games, and then it's just you see it and you're like, oh. And then there was talks when he was healthy, and you got Wallace and Macklin, and Perryman could be a triple threat in the AFC North, a triple threat dark horse receiving core. And then now it's like, you got the dynamic duo and Macklin and Wallace, because Perryman's just, he's not going to get together. But if he can play week one, please, let's hope he can. But for our sake, it better happen. But it's just not much to say about that, man. It's just, let's take it. If it's day to day, week to week, it's just like Joe's back. I mean, we already know Joe's back situation, obviously, and still talking about it. He's going to make it to week one. His reports, it was minor right now. He will make it to week one, so far. I mean, he's slated to start. We don't have a quarterback controversy. I know we signed Thad Lewis as a solidified backup, right now. Earlier reports, he looked okay in practice. So, I mean, it is what it is. And we already know the quarterback pool's thin at best. And it's very dry. So it's not like back in the day where you had a Mark Brunell sitting out there, or Randall Cunningham in his, you know, past his prime. It's just there's a lot of question marks in that area. And if any more, I mean, the Dolphins had to pull a quarterback out of retirement. I mean, who's to say the next major injury, Tony Romo's name is going to be brought up? I mean, someone joked that, you know, even though Brett Favre's in the Hall of Fame, someone already joked that, hey, well, I'll give Brett a call. I'm sure his arm's good enough in his mid-40s. And so, I mean, it's just the quarterback pool is very thin. So I feel like if an NFL team is looking to retired players that are moving on, then there's an issue with the quarterback pool. And maybe it's college talent. I don't know. Maybe it's the college quarterbacks aren't as good when they translate to the NFL. But that could be another song and dance for another day. But it's definitely got to be a science to it, because I feel like the quarterback is the weakest position in the National Football League right now.
It is, and let's end the show this week. Let's talk a little bit about Joe Flacco. News came out after that first game that Joe is having some back issues, but it looks like everything is working out the way it should, and they are saying that he will be the week one starter. Of course, Joe's not coming over here on the call telling us how he's doing, but Mallett, you know, he didn't have the greatest showing on that Thursday game, so I think we need to have Joe back more than ever. But my worry is Joe's not going to know how to work well with Jeremy Maclin and some of these new guys on the offense. We need Joe to practice. He's not going to play in any preseason games, but I want to see him on that practice field throwing the ball a little bit around with some of the new guys, because I think he's going to need that before he hits week one.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I'm not worrying about Joe's play. I'm not worrying about his athleticism. We know what Joe can bring, but you're right. The focal point is going to be on any new personnel brought in, how he's going to gel with the team, how he's going to gel with the offense. I cannot for a second imagine a pro quarterback such as Joe Flacco is going to sit all through 4 weeks. The week of, we go to Cincinnati, he's going to get a walkthrough practice, and that's it. I feel whether we see it on the back end or not, he's got to be probably throwing. He's training somewhere. He's probably throwing with our receivers. I would have to imagine so. Not right at this point. We're heading into week two of the preseason, but I imagine they have to get him a week's reps in before, because a quarterback to start week one of the NFL, you might as well just call it quits, man. I just don't see that happening. And if it happens, it's got to happen by faith and blind faith only, because – I just don't see it. I don't see how we can be a successful team and go where we want to go and accomplish what we want to accomplish if you're just going to just put Joe Flacco in there, suited up, full pads, week one Cincinnati on the road where we know we cannot always play well and expect to come out sharp. And you know, you're going to get the same old three and out story, check down Charlie, and we're going to sit here and complain all day long because of what if, what if, what if. And let's just hope it doesn't come to that. Let's hope he is going to get conditioning. He's working out somewhat as he gets better, and he's week one ready to go firing passes, and they're standing tall in the pocket, making good decisions for us and getting a winning effort.
Absolutely. So, Josh, let me ask you, have we covered everything?
And definitely going to tell you, quote the Raven, nevermore. We certainly did.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call and you should too. Gotta tell you, I just got an Amazon Echo from Prime Day. It was back ordered. I finally got it in the mail and I love listening to our intro song with the awesome speaker on that Amazon Echo, because all you have to do is say, you know, what is it, Alexa, play The Call podcast, Baltimore Ravens podcast on TuneIn, and she starts playing our latest episode. It is really cool, and I think Amazon should give me some royalties for plugging their equipment here, but it was kind of interesting listening to it that way. I never have done that before. Usually I'm editing and stuff, but that was pretty cool, just having the Amazon Echo play our stuff. So if you have an Amazon Echo, you can do that through TuneIn. So listen to it there. So Josh, we got a game coming up in Miami this week. You got to do what you always do. Get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, always, thank you so much. And here we move on to preseason number two. We're going down to sunny Florida, Miami, and Jay Cutler will be starting for that team. It's going to be interesting. And we already know how sharp our defense is. I hope he's ready and built for it, because they're coming after him. We're going to show him. Welcome back to the NFL here for another season. And it's going to be great. It's going to be another great test to see what the Ravens can bring. Right out of the gate, you're going to look for the starters to play a little bit more. The offense obviously going to get a big, big microscopic view this weekend, or this week, I should say, a Thursday game, because as we know, Flacco's not in the center. We want to look at the line. We want to look at the running game. We look at if Howard plays. We want to look at all that and really see, and if some of the starters can get on. I am looking to see Mike Wallace and Macklin get on the field. I'm not sure. Might all happen under the lights in M&T Bank in week three against the Bills coming here when they're going to play the most. So the reports are still early, but we'll definitely cover that and keep everybody up to date on who's playing, who's not, what to expect. But again, what to expect out of this game is a hard-fought Ravens game, a hard-fought Ravens victory. Obviously, Harbaugh said the job is to stay healthy and play good and evaluate, but winning the game always helps too, because it's a winning effort and you always build upon that. And a 23-3 effort against the Redskins last week, it's always prideful to say, hey, the whole unit from first, second, and third string, the whole team allowed just a field goal in four quarters of preseason football. That's impressive by any stretch. I mean, I was watching preseason already this week. It was, I think, the third quarter, and the Seahawks already put up 41 points. I mean, that's impressive. I don't know what they were doing, but that's impressive. I don't know who was scoring. But again, 23-3, I don't care who it is. That's impressive for week one. You build on that. The scores don't matter, but it's the effort. And when you put up an effort like they did, what we covered, tackling, fundamentals, you know, Terrence West looked okay. He had some great runs. He had some great lanes for the run in. And you want to build upon that. And that's what we're going to look for in week two. We're going to play hard, put our best winning effort forward, and evaluate the Ravens. We need to evaluate, because we need the best 53 men available for that week one date in Cincinnati to start this party off. 2017 is rolling through preseason. Week two is on the horizon. Guys, get ready. Game day this week. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high into Miami.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment.
Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.